just move right into, well, what now? As we look at our lists, I think we've gotten a lot done. So stuff that we wanted to talk about, we wanted to talk about counting and reporting. Did we get that done? We wanted to talk about technology versus the human voice. Do we want to talk about that now? Nope? Okay. You can cross that out.
I already know.
Did we talk about broadband and lack of internet? I think that's just a fact. Okay, we don't want to discuss that. How did we do covering development and outreach of, to contacts? Was that Shannon who talked about that? Okay, that one's good. Organizational structure, we kind of all sort of revealed that to each other as we went. Pockets versus no pockets.
We're all from pockets. We have
accomplished that. Longevity of volunteers. Is that a topic we want to talk about? Longevity of volunteers. I didn't say it. I have no idea what that means. Nope. Let's wrap it up. Ethical fundraising, donor-centric versus community-centric. We didn't really touch on that. We don't have what?
We don't have
all right, cross that.
Yeah, that's a whole like workshop or a whole conference in and of itself.
Yeah.
But just to, I think just stating it and kind of putting it out there that it's something to be thinking of, something to consider. I was telling somebody, if you don't follow Nonprofit AF, we were talking about this at lunch, Nonprofit AF, Vu Lee is a nonprofit leader from Seattle or somewhere there, and he does a blog and he's a speaker, and he is very much into donor-centric or community fundraising and the diversity in funding for just look up Vu Lee or Nonprofit AF, and he just writes all kinds of stuff on that particular topic that is eye-opening.
This is one of our monthly calls.
Sure, yeah, we can talk, yeah.
Forms of service, dying and up and coming.
Lewis kind of talked about that maybe a little bit.
That was more of a technical conversation, right. And Lewis kind of walked us through. Anybody? Okay. How do we partner with other agencies? Do we feel like we covered what you wanted? Okay, nodding, yes. I want to learn the industry.
If you have bad stories about your talking book, talk to Bailey. She's collecting stories about, horror stories about talking book partnerships. Because she has them.
Reasons you came here, you wanted to make connections. Did we do that?
Yes.
Nice. Did we learn this industry a little bit?
Yes.
I think this one's more organic and it's still unanswered because we're not quite there yet, but how do we restart? I believe we do it together. I didn't know how to shut down and we started having those we started having those phone calls and those Zooms. I didn't know how to shut down and stay on the air, but it was because of each of us participating in those calls, Tom Williams in particular. Probably single-handedly walked us through how to do shit to stay on the air in those first dark days. So this how do we restart program or thing. I mean, Iris has restarted sort of, but now I gotta start six remote reading locations. I don't know yet. So I think that's gonna be us continuing to lean on each other and come up with suggestions for each other. So this one I don't think we can answer yet because how do we restart? I don't think
we're still restarting.
We're still there, yeah. Shrinking newspapers, did we cover that sucker? Okay, nodding.
Yeah.
Okay, conference 2023, we'll leave. I feel isolated and lonesome. Did making the connections you made this weekend help? Anybody still isolated and lonesome? Because I'm kind of sweaty, but I'll hug you right now.
For those of you that don't know, we do have a monthly Zoom call. It's what, the third Tuesday? I messed it up a couple months ago. Third Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central Time, Zoom. You can give the link to your volunteers, your board, whoever. It's just, it's kind of a continuation of the pandemic and the loneliness, and so we get together once a month, and sometimes it's just go around the room and talk what you're doing, and sometimes it's focused on specific topics. So we might have a few. I try and promote it on our Facebook group to remind people, and sometimes if I'm really ambitious, I send an e-blast, but it is always, I think it's the same, I have that one set up as the same Zoom code and everything, so it's always the third Tuesday at 2.
Thank you for recording those too. That always comes in handy because I have a standing meeting on that day.
Okay.
So it's great for me to be able to record.
Yeah, and I don't know how long the recordings stay. I usually just share the link from Zoom instead of downloading them and keeping them forever. So I don't think they're there for really long, but I think they're there for at least a month.
Yeah, I watch it. It's like
right away.
I want to learn about the technical side. Learn more about the technical side. Do you feel like we accomplished it? Would you like to get into technical things right now on a Saturday afternoon?
No.
Okay.
No.
I want to learn about apps and stuff. Did we get there?
Hire Lewis.
Yeah, hire Lewis, basically. Des Moines, did you get what you wanted out of my city?
Yeah.
Your city's great.
And boards. Did we vote for or against having a board of directors? Sorry. Okay.
Am I cut out?
Uh-oh.
Who's the last
one?
Boards.
So, basically, I think all y'all who got on planes, trains, and automobiles to get here, your service spent money, you spent money. Maybe you got a new outfit or some new shoes because you haven't been out for a while. Maybe you've had to get somebody to cover you at work, cover you at home. Maybe your kid had a brain scan the very afternoon you were supposed to be here. I think we did everything we came here to do. Is there anything else anyone wants to just talk about? Come until you can. We only have one microphone right now.
But there are batteries if you can do them.
I did it in the one.
Just now?
That's the one with batteries.
I also don't need yellow. I have seven big brothers, so I don't need yellow. I have a question I've been dying to talk to people about this weekend. Is, for some reason, Colorado Emergency Response Team really, really believes that AINC should put out emergency alerts. And so I've been to several conferences, and I've talked to so many people about this. And the reason they're coming to us is because guess who our population is? Exactly, they're senior citizens, they're people with disabilities. And so those alert systems that are out there are not accessible for people with disabilities or seniors. So they have come to us many, many times. We've had many, many conversations with them. I've learned way more than I've ever desired to learn about emergency alert systems. But I was wondering, in the other states, have you been approached with doing this? We have gotten, we're closer than we ever were, because at least now we kind of understand what it will take. And we definitely feel strongly that we will get the funding to take this project on. But because we are audio information, this is definitely something that's in all of our wheelhouses. And I'll just give you a quick example. So if Evan and I are watching television and there's a tornado coming, the initial alert will come on, you know, beep, beep. I'm not doing that sound correctly, but it will say, you know, that the initial will say, you know, there's a tornado headed towards Larimer County, blah, blah, blah. Then nothing. The tornado may have changed course, or it may have taken out our neighbor's house or whatever, but there's no follow, they don't continually read those updates. Even alerts that are coming over our cell phones, aren't, some of them are actually PDF images. And in Colorado, not only is it every county, it has a different system. Each sheriff's office, that's in charge. In each state, it's different. I guess California really has their stuff together. but most states don't. And especially the people that live out in our rural communities are not having access to these emergency alert systems. So I know that's a lot, but are people getting asked? What? Oh my goodness. We, everybody.
The state actually
The state has come to us and asked us if their engineers think they can figure out how to maybe interrupt even our podcast or do something, because our signal on PBS would get interrupted, you know, somebody listening to that signal through PBS on a receiver, but looking at our streams and, you know, other things that we're doing, those signals don't come through. So the state asked us if we'd be willing, if they have a way they can break into our system to do emergency alerts. And so our tech people that we've hired said that they're on it, and that, you know, we're gonna try to get the tech people together. But I think the big thing, and we also had the Louisville Police Department, they have a radio station, which I understand is only two in the whole country like it. Others, I think it's available, but they're only one of two police stations who've done it. So they have like a safety alert station. So you wouldn't listen to it all the time, but it runs all kinds of, they pull stuff off of the Department of Transportation and different places, and they run these. And they've approached us about, could they use our Spanish signal, because they have to have a separate signal if they want to run Spanish alerts. And could they maybe pull our signal through their website and put Spanish alerts on there? But the big driving factor was the fires that happened, this Marshall fire, and people weren't getting the information. You know, people were at work and not at home, and their kids were at home by themselves. I mean, all, you know, all kinds of things, and trying to get alerts out to people. So I think that was a huge driving factor, and then they're like, whoa, how do we get alerts to blind people, basically, is what they've been saying. So I think that was the driving factor.
That's right.
We do it. Voice score is always there. The EAS, emergency alert?
Yes.
Always. There were, since I think they turned on, we have an EAS box. I'm sorry, I don't know all the technical aspects of it, but I know whenever there's a web, it just interrupts the programming. There's no way around it. It could be in the middle of a live, the live dispatch that, the volunteers don't hear it, you know, they're still reading away. But anybody who's listening on our website or on one of the radios or on Alexa, they'll hear that, you know, that scree and then the weather announcement, and whether it's a tornado has been spotted or conditions are right or flooding. Flooding is huge in Ohio. And then it's over, and then the regular programming resumes. So there's. Well, it looks like a black box. Yeah, I'm not the technical, but it's an EAS, emergency alert system. And if they want you to do it, ask them to pay for it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, have Colorado pay for it.
It's at your office.
It's in the control room. Yeah.
Very good.
I know that we've talked about it in Omaha. This is Becca. One of the reasons that we haven't, I mean, and it kind of sounds like they're asking, do they just want your signals, or they want you to actually develop something? But anyway, we've not run it because we serve the whole state, and to unduly alarm people in Scotts Bluff when there's a tornado warning in, not to, you know, so Scotts Bluff Southwest, and there, you know, someone in Norfolk who's in the Northeast, like, especially we're talking about older folks.
They told us that they can make it so that if there's a tornado in Fort Collins in the Northeast part of the state, Durango in the Southeast.
I asked about that because I was concerned about that too, because we serve the state. And you don't want somebody in Durango flipping out because they're hearing that there's a tornado or a fire or a storm, but it's in Fort Collins, which is, you know, diagonally exactly the opposite corner of the state. And they told me they can make it so it only goes to appropriate regions. So we still have more to learn.
I think it's something we definitely should look into. I know that early at my time, we had someone misinterpret and duly unnerved a woman who ran to her basement diagonally the wrong side of the state because she heard something on Iris about a tornado, and she broke her ankle. And so I decided not doing that anymore, but what we decided to do is when there is emergency information, usually weather in Iowa, we advise people to go to their television station. We advise them, we say, hey, there's severe weather today. Tune in to, because that's, they're always going to have better than I am. They're always going to have better than the guy that takes 18 years to say there's a tornado coming down your driveway. You know, but I think it's something that's definitely in our future somehow. And the magic box, RNPR priced one of those for us. And I'm not paying that. But I don't know. And splitting the signal to get it to the right people and not break an old lady's ankle. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a conversation we're going to be having. I don't know if we know what the right answer is yet.
This is really important. I'm just going to say, I got a guy. I'm going to ask him. Well, a lot of what NPR does is setting up emergency alert systems. I know that I've talked to Mary Frances about this before, about, remember, and...
Was that you in the box and the money?
Well, remember, you talked to Jason, and because we set Iowa up for the tornado project. So, but let me ask, I'm just going to say that this is something that is available. I mean, so let me ask. I'm going to leave it there. But.
Do you have to be an NPR?
No.
Station or affiliate or anything to
avail you. The EAS system is based on NOAA weather radio and on a series of primary and secondary AM or FM, mostly FM radio stations and television stations in your state. Each transmitter site, in the case of a statewide service like mine or Becca's or whoever is statewide, each transmitter site where your signal emanates from for a given area would need to have one of those boxes. Now, my agency, and we've had some dialogue in my engineering and our technical services department a few times about paralleling the EAS signals at our transmitter sites that are already there because they're required for the FM station, so you don't have an option. If you got an FM transmitter, you got to have an EBS receiver. It's got to be working. If it's not, you can be fined for it for every day it isn't by the FCC. Some carriers are exempt from that, but if you want to put it on there, there are ways to do it, especially if you've already got this box at the site. We just have not done it yet. We keep talking about it, and then when we start talking about it, something else breaks. That's bigger than we are, and they have to fix it. But it is on my to-do list, and I'll keep everybody posted.
Thank you, Mike.
The advantage to that would be if a tornado, was for Des Moines, then you wouldn't have to tell Fort Dodge, because that's built into the alert system. The other advantage to having the automated system is if it happened right now, nobody's at the station, nobody's gonna know, unless somebody runs down there and tells people. Whereas this automated system that MEMA is Mississippi Emergency Management, but whatever your emergency management agency is here, can activate it for any number of reasons, including Amber Alerts, Highway Patrol, state troopers can activate it for Amber Alerts. Your emergency management agency can activate it for things, and NOAA Weather Radio can activate it for storms. So that's why it's operated that way.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, would you just do weather? Would the Amber Alerts come through? It seems like there's a lot of discussion. But yeah, I've never thought about it. I think I'll be interested to see what you guys develop or find out.
Any other burning questions before we slide into general business and wrap this puppy up?